What's everybody drinking?
Tea.
Water.
Tea, water.
Water.
Water. I'm drinking a slushy.
A QT.
Man, slushy. I want a slushy.
When I get sad, I drink slushies.
Some high class. Oh my god,
I want like a Coke and cherry mix slushy. That sounds so good right now.
Yeah. It is pretty tasty. It's full of sugar and needed after today.
Yeah,
it's gonna give you bad dreams if you drink that right now. Like you're gonna have like
I'm gonna have nightmares about this fucking Philly match.
Well, our nightmare was in reality, so how much worse could it be? From just outside the perimeter and also squarely inside the perimeter tonight.
Right in the smack fucking middle of it.
Of Atlanta, Georgia, where our depth came to play until we gave it away.
Yeah, I mean, that's not as punny as I generally expect from you, but it's actually quite descriptive.
I think you borrowed it from somebody.
I did. It's not even mine.
Oh, that's why. Wow. If it was up to you, it would have been like, we came to play a want to eat some hay down by the bay.
I just may. What do you say? It is the Five Takes podcast, and we are back.
We're back, baby.
So sorry that we're back.
Like injuries to all Atlanta players. This is why we can't have nice things with any of our teams, whether it's the Hawks with Trae Young, although admittedly we were playing a little bit better without Trae. We haven't won since he's come back, but that's an entirely different story. Losing Spencer Strider now for the Braves, the myriad of injuries that United has and has had. Falcons have struggled with this as well. I know it's not a curse. We're not unique to it. Like Chelsea's had loads of injuries.
Sure, the
Liverpool, Tottenham. My God, the amount of injuries you guys have had this season.
Does it feel personal? Team is down. I don't know how many people like
really.
You know,
who's down?
I mean, a bunch of people on the lacrosse team.
I'm making it up on the just storm. For added sorrow. The only team that's actually healthy and performing well right now is the Atlanta Vibe.
That's correct.
Until you said that.
And now they're all
That's
doomed.
Not how the world works, Glenn.
And now they're all doomed. No, but Glenn, I was talking to somebody, some random guy who I started to struck up a conversation with today at the Renaissance Festival. Okay. There is something that you as a transplant from, because I said, I was like, he has fully converted. He is fully transplanted.
I've gotten all the Ohio out of me. I promise you it's gone. It's gone.
Right.
Conversion therapy. I went to conversion therapy. Right. I'm good.
You are good. No longer round on the ends and high in the middle. So
they do that at the Trap Museum for those of you listening that ever wanted to know where you can have Atlanta conversion therapy.
But what I would say, yes. And at Peaches. You must go to Peaches at least once. Yeah. And maybe Oasis and
no, it's
Claremont. It,
Magic City.
No,
Magic City.
I know, but Magic. You go
for
to Magic City. No, you go to Magic
for
City
wings.
For the wings. You go to Claremont for the PBR.
All flats.
Yes. Lemon pepper wet. But what I was
very
saying
wet.
Is that you have converted yourself fully to you are a full Atlanta transplant now. I'm glossing over that.
Is this not an equal opportunity wings podcast? Like, or just drums just fully just kicked
No,
out?
I love drums. Drums have more meat.
Confession, I actually prefer drums. I just think most people in those in footy mob
no.
and other sports.
No, they don't. No, they don't. Do
no,
not
I don't
speak
get it.
For other people. Do not put words in
people's
mouth.
You are the other people.
Team all drums.
I am
okay,
all,
I see
all
flats everywhere. So,
but what's great for me is Jenny's all drums, and I'm all flats, and I'm all drums. So it's
was
like
that
we
your
just,
first
we just
question when
right
you when you guys first got together. Flats or drums?
No, it just kind of always worked out that way. She's like, "You want those?"
Atlanta
and I'm like,
question.
"I want those."
It's on if you know someone's from Atlanta, it's on their Tinder. Flats
That's
or
right.
drums?
Yep. Yeah, it's like the AOL of old. It's A S L, and then you do D or F. For drum or flat. So what I was telling this
yes.
guy is that you being fully transplanted, one of the things that you are starting to understand is that unlike the Cleveland Browns, who are just bad all the time, we have excellent talent. We have really most of the Atlanta sports teams most of the sports teams have a considerable amount of talent. We do really, really well, or at least considerably well, i.e. things like the Braves and, you know, United. Mm-hmm. And then when it gets to the playoffs and winning it all, that's why Atlanta, that's why the Braves in particular have so many division titles and American League titles and only a couple of scattered World Series titles throughout the years, because they're just, it's the finishing power. You know what I mean? And it's, that's, you're starting to really fully learn that in the last 10 years or so, that yes, we have amazing amount of talent. We have really good sports teams here, but
Glenn, your other employee, the Atlanta Hawks, are the perfect example of this.
Yeah, you're starting to understand that you have to get used to disappointment.
The Hawks, in the even before I was born, had the same problem they had in the mid-2000s when they went to 10 straight playoffs. Of just like, they were always right there, but they didn't exactly have the thing to beat Larry Bird. Even though we had Dominique, we were always just a couple steps short. That mid-2000s Hawks team, as soon as LeBron James showed up, we were effed. And so,
I think that's a really good shout. I think Kat makes a really good point.
Yep.
Growing up in Ohio, it's not that I'm not used to disappointment. I'm very used to it. Expect it, even. The difference with Atlanta is what Kat was saying about there's hope. There's real reason for optimism, but just that little bit at the end. We're not Ohioans, which I do not consider myself at all an Ohioan, but they don't even have the little bit. Like, no, there's not nothing. Really. You just know we're going to lose. The Guardians, formerly the Indians, will win a World Series. They won it a few years ago, too, as well. But
they did not.
No, they didn't.
No, didn't they won it like 10 years ago?
Nope.
No, 94.
The Indians, didn't they win it in like...
There was no 94 World Series. They lost to the Braves in 95.
Yep. And no. The Indians won in like 18 or 19.
They lost to the Chicago Cubs in Game 7 of the best baseball game ever played.
That was such an amazing game. I watched every minute of that game.
Child of Atlanta, Jason Hayward, spurred the Cubs to victory with a rousing speech during the rain delay.
The Jay Hay kid.
So close to Back to the Future getting it dead right.
That was very close.
Put some money on the Cubbies. I fully agree with what you're saying. I am getting used to that. I am understanding it more and more. But it doesn't make it any less frustrating. And the injury aspect is like,
that's really the killer, because it's like, okay, I think all of us would agree that we really feel like, you know, on paper, we have the tools to do something really special.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
We just can't seem to physically manifest a consistent lineup when we finally have a lineup that makes sense.
Which is why I think there are a lot of positive things to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about them. I think this is going to be overall positive. So I'm going to get the negative stuff out of the way before we get into takes and low-key man of the match and all of that. The reason why I feel a little disappointed, obviously not winning at home, you need 3 points. Like, I think we're going to look back on this match and those 2 points are going to be valuable. But this was a chance at a real narrative changer. Like, wow, okay, this is different this season. Look at all the key pieces we're missing. And we got this done and we clean sheeted them. Oh my, that's a head turner. It really is. And it should have been, and it's not. And that's where my frustration comes in. I still think there's a lot of good things to talk about on both sides of the ball. Yep. Really happy with a lot of things that kills, because I hope that the boys do bounce back next week. I hope, put in the rear view, be a goldfish. Great. But boy, this week we could have really built something on this, man. We really could have run with this.
Yeah. It's one of those things where, especially when you look at some of the opportunities that we did have, like Saba rattling the post there at like the 86th minute. God. That was it. That was it.
Amada had a really good strike as well. That just went right at the dude. Like, there was just a couple of those shots that just...
If Saba's goal goes in, if that ball goes in...
Oh my God. It was a ball just didn't bounce right kind of game. Like, it was just like those football games where just sometimes the punts just go 80 yards because it landed perfectly on the wrong side of the football. Like, it felt more like one of those where, like, you did it. We did everything we could have done with this group.
We did almost everything right.
Daylight savings is done if that goes in. It's Saba time from here on. It's, and it,
And he deserves, and he deserves all the credit for very nearly almost getting it too. And it's yeah. just it's,
he's it's such kind a of fun like, creative. Yeah.
He's he and he, and they are great. Going to fall. We've already shown that too. Yeah. So it's like
it just didn't tonight.
Yeah, yeah, you add that in, and it's a 3-2 win even, and it still shows that everything that what we were just what you were just saying is still possible. And that's the thing. What we had a hard time doing last year without the main starting 11 was scoring. And
Even putting shots on, giving the performance we did today. Last year, I don't think we did this performance last year.
Thiago, not having Gigi up front, not having Joseph, you know, all of those things. If we didn't have the exact starting 11 that we had been what would be the starting 11, if we didn't have them, we weren't scoring. We weren't doing anything effective. It wasn't just that. We didn't have an effective plan of attack, you know? Yeah. And I don't think that we're really lacking that this year. We did score two really excellent goals.
Agreed.
So we can't let go of that too. It's still a 2-2 win against Philly, who we hate at home. Is it
they
the best
are
result?
Unbeaten.
No.
They are a tough team.
Yeah.
It's upsetting because of the way in which they happened. And if you want
I don't
to
know though, because they weren't cheap. Those two goals weren't cheap from Philly. They're Philly style goals. Like you said, they weren't super cheap.
First goal, cheap as hell.
Yeah.
Why? Why though?
Because Mosquera landed the perfect pass where only a Philly guy was.
Okay, you're right about that.
All I had to do was just run in a straight line and kick it at Goose, and that's exactly what happened. Like, there was no defending that.
And, well, and I looked at it again and again and again. Goose should have come out for it. He shouldn't have. He almost did.
No.
But then he gets rounded pretty easy.
For that,
maybe.
If Goose had come out for that and he doesn't play it absolutely perfectly, that is a dog so red. And Josh Cohen is starting next week. And I want to, I mean, Jason Longshore put it on the post game.
Josh Cohen.
And I think actually it was Mike Conti. It was Mike Conti who said that was the best play that Goose made this whole, this whole thing, because he had the wherewithal not to take the risk.
Yeah.
Because you're getting scored on probably
And maybe so. And all I was really saying is if he closes that gap and makes himself big, I'm not saying go for the guy's fucking ankles and take him out. He's still got to cut the angle down.
Also, two goal lead.
Look how far out he scored from. If he cuts that angle down, he was still wide left.
He's got to engage though. If he's coming out of his box, he's not doing there just to do that because he's going to get rounded. He's going to ground. Right. He's going to engage. And there's the risk.
I don't think there's a point in doing that up two goals as well. Like, don't get yourself kicked out of a game.
Right.
I don't disagree with that either. I just don't think you can. Okay, Mosquera played a bad ball.
Yep.
But that's
a keeper's not going to win this 1v1 most of the time. I get your point there, but it's still like there was so much space
from when they won the ball. Because that's the great part about the replay in this particular sense. If you go back and watch it, they show it all the way from our half, from where they win the ball in our half and how they bring it all the way back. There were a myriad of things that could have gone in any particular direction from one side all the way to the other.
And the one thing I think this does answer the question of is anybody who was wondering why Tyler Wolfe is getting the nod over Mosquera.
Sure.
Fair. Yeah.
This is all about consistency, and with all the other injuries, we're dealing with the least amount of defensive liability. A lot of people have been wondering why he's not starting for Silva. Yeah. Like why that's not an interchangeable role, and why is Wolfe getting the nod?
Yeah. Okay. No, we're good. I'm fine with that. Oh man, I don't want to be down on it so much. Mosquera is unfortunately involved in both of those goals. Mistakes from him for me. I don't think the second one is
a mistake. He heads the ball back. He does
not so much
every
a mistake. It's not reacting quick enough.
Yeah, it's less egregious. It's just like okay.
Yeah.
Could you maybe one more step? Sure, but it's so fast. It was
ball,
so tight and fast.
He heads the ball back across the goal. It's not dead center. It's a little bit off to the side, and the guy literally hits it on the like
it's a great goal.
Credit where credit is due. It's a hell of a goal from Wagner. Yeah, hell of a goal.
I mean, he absolutely volleys it off of his shoelaces.
Yeah, the XG is like 0.5 on it. I believe FotMob gave it, so it's a low percentage goal.
Yeah, I he was involved in them, I guess, but I can't. You can't sit there and say that every single time somebody heads a ball back like that, that it's going to end up in the net. Like that's.
No, that's fair. It's sadly wrong place, wrong time kind of thing.
If anything, he didn't. I think everybody heads a ball like that back out like that all the time.
Yeah.
Since we have Jack here, do we want to talk about the elephant in the room?
Which particular
elephant? Who's the elephant?
The elephant in the center of the room and on the sides of the room. And like, why is it like this with Philly? Like, why do we either, it either seems like we just have really egregious reffing against Philly, like reffing that is exceedingly questionable, right? Because this goes back to last year and the match where no one knew what a fucking handball was.
Right.
And then you go to this match and I really want someone to explain it to me like I'm a four-year-old why Jose Martinez was still on the pitch after the 40th minute. Because any other instance of you throwing a ball because you just got a yellow 50 yards away from the opposing team who's going to start play again, that's another yellow.
Yeah, it is. Every time, every day, that ends in Y.
I mean, the answer is it's pro. That's why. I mean, it's... Sadly, there's not really many other explanations for that. Should have gone to yellow. Yeah, yellow is a yellow. I mean, I think it's unquestionable. I don't know if this is for certain, but I'm very sure that they are aware that the referees are aware of what things may look like if they make certain calls after the fact and things like that. And so appearance absolutely does play into how they decide to adjudicate games, I would say. Which sadly is the case, but that should have been a yellow. I was also watching the Masters at the same time, so I was like 75% watching this game. But I did see a fair amount of yellows being thrown out there like throughout the game, which is what makes that one more weird more than anything. It was like there was already a track record established in this game. Like, okay, yeah, we're going to be handing out cards for stuff that needs to be carded, and then it was just this one thing that just didn't get carded. They messed that up, and then the throw in that leads to the second goal turns out. Big old VAR loophole there. We don't have to get to that now.
We'll get into yellows and all that.
One of the things that I've noticed, and I think that this is the human element of refereeing, is that they tend to be, when they know that a player is on a yellow, depending on the ref, they tend to be maybe a little bit more lenient. Because they know give a second yellow to a player,
second yellow is so much more flexible off than a first. It is so much more flexible than a first.
I fucking hate that because we just said, a yellow is a yellow is a yellow. And the other thing too, is that it's the yellows that are outside of the box or fouls. You know, this plays into the same thing when it comes to like a penalty inside of the box, not a penalty. Or if it's a penalty, but it's not a yellow. And I'm like, wait a second. If that's a penalty outside of the box and it's a yellow, why is it not a yellow or even a red inside the box if it's a foul?
Yeah, it teaches bad habits of play and things like that. It's not great.
If Glenn knows anything about me, he knows how
I don't know
much
anything about you.
I am the stickler for the rules, which
Hell
is
yeah.
If you are going to make a rule, you have to follow it. I don't fucking care if you are offside by 5 feet or an ear. Offside is offside. That is the rule. If you don't like it, then fucking change it. But for now, that is the way it is. So, that being said, if you get a yellow for kicking the ball 50 yards away, I don't care if it's your first yellow or your fucking 50th. It's a fucking yellow card, and it ought to be for every person on the pitch. Always.
That's my issue with it is that you know, the center ref did not pull the card out because he didn't want to send the player off.
Correct. And that's fucking horrible.
And that is not okay because
it's not.
Again, no. It's just something that's really, really egregious and obvious. It's not a judgment call.
And it's a game changer because if that happens, we now control the rest of the match. We control
There is no way to project what a match with Philly down 10 men would have looked like.
I didn't say that means we win. I said we control the narrative because a team that goes down, a man usually does, especially with us. It's at home. It gives us the opportunity to control the rest of the match and changes the
teams,
narrative.
And teams tend to like suck badly if they're playing at Mercedes-Benz down a man too. They like really it rarely do. Ever works.
Oh, that's right.
I have, and I'm sorry we're jumping ahead to the takes and we're dealing with this yellow card whatnot now, but I have a legitimate question for you because, again, heard it on the post-game show. Is there a thing as yellow fatigue? There were 7 yellow cards thrown in this match.
He got tired of throwing them?
Like, if the ref just gets tired of yelling at people and telling them to stop doing this bullshit and he's carded them for it, is there a mentality switch off where it's like, you know what? Just fuck it. Let him play.
Then just you're in the it. Wrong business. Bother
anymore. Yeah.
I don't want to hear it.
Yeah. Actually, the NBA has made this exact change where they have started guys just letting them play. They've gotten rid of so many ticky-tack fouls, and the game got rougher in the last month and a half or so. And play like centers and big men that usually would get fat, like Rudy Gobert, Draymond Green, who would get fat out of games because they were just tall and large and were supposed to get in the way. They get fouled too quickly. So they're kind of loosened that up and it changed the game. So, but that's kind of more of a style of play thing in basketball. But yeah, I mean, I totally would get it. I mean, it is a hard job to be a center ref to deal with 22 other men who more often than not are not talking to you for reasons that are appreciative of what you just did.
Right,
so
right.
It gets really draining. It's a very, very thankless job. And I totally get that. If they're just like, if a guy can't control it and they're just not getting the respect from the players, then I totally get it. Like, then you dish them out when it's obviously gone to another level. But if there's a band that everyone's willing to play by in the moment, then I mean, yeah, it's herding cats at that point. I mean, soccer players are in game are not normal human beings. Ever. So
no, and they will continue. They will usually continue to commit the same
fouls.
Well, yeah, but I was trying to think of more. Well, I just wonder word, is but that they'll continue why? To do it until you kick them out.
I wonder because they don't kick them out when it comes to Philly. Like Philly gets to play like this, and nobody does a damn thing about it. And before we started recording, you know, all of us were lamenting about. You know, it's we all dislike Philly, right? Like it's and that's okay. Yeah. You don't have to like every team in the league, but I think all of us fundamentally dislike Philly on a stylistic basis. No one wants to watch soccer that looks like this.
We feel the same way. We feel the same way, but for a slightly different reason about Red Bulls. We don't like it's dirty soccer. It's not pretty. It doesn't make the beautiful game look good. It's not, it's like you said.
I don't think Red Bulls is dirty. I don't think it's pleasing. Philadelphia is on a different level as far as aesthetics.
Yeah, Philadelphia is dirty, time-wasting, injury time, rolling around. You know, the way that
Red Bull is just annoying, press and exhausting. Yeah, Philly's just, ugh.
Phillies just hold everything up by hook or crook or whatever thing they can grab onto that they do in a way where they're, I think, taught to do it at angles away from where referees can see it. Like, I actually think that they're legitimately taught that in their
guys life. Learn that, too, when you play for as long as these people have.
Yeah,
as
but
well.
It sounds like based on what Jennifer's saying, she's saying it's encouraged.
Right.
And
right.
That it's part of the game. It seriously reminds me of like the Mighty Ducks where like Bombay is losing it and he's trying to get Charlie.
Yes.
He says when he pins you up against the wall, I want you to grab your eye like it's cut. And then as soon as he looks away, you hit the ice and he goes, nope.
I don't want to do that.
Not going to do that.
Yeah. Essentially. Not that I like saying this, but I don't think we're free of guilt in this regard as well. I've been so mad at our guys.
But it's not part of our culture, I don't
think. Yeah, so here's where I think Jack's going with it, and then we got to move on. or else we'll be on just talking about how we don't like Philly and the way they play all night, which we could do.
Which we could do.
Every team takes advantage of like, if you feel contact, you're going to go down.
Yes. That's, yes.
The
yeah,
fence
right,
in the
yeah.
box. We do those things.
But that's, that's everybody.
I think the distinction that I'm trying to make here is that, yes, every team does that. That is the game. There are aspects of the game that every team employs. This is part of their identity. And that's different. You can identify like the way Red Bulls play. high press, annoying, buzzing, just in your face. That's annoying, but you can see an identity and like, okay, that's still soccer.
It's a real strategy.
Yeah. What Jennifer is talking about is these guys don't know how to play soccer for more than 1 minute at a time. They just don't, nor do they have any interest to. And they're actually, I believe, I haven't been at their training grounds, but this is kind of ingrained in them. This is how they play. This is, and they get results. Credit to them. It's not like they're doing something and not getting anything out of it. You know, they're unbeaten for a reason. But it comes across as the antithesis of the beautiful game. It's just not enjoyable to watch.
It's the Philly in them. They're fighters. Yes. I don't know. It feels weirdly emblematic. It feels weirdly emblematic of Philadelphia that they're the team that does it. It feels natural that of any city, it's like them, Boston and maybe New York, that like would be the team that like plays like this. So in a way, it's kind of a little charming.
Charming and Philly should not be used in the same sentence. Yeah. Let's move on from them. I was going to try to work charming into a segue into Mason Mill, but I'm just going to thank Mason Mill. I guess they could be charming. I guess a chiropractor could be charming. I don't know.
I mean, I think Dr. Cohen is very charming.
You know what? Dr. Cohen is charming. He's a very charismatic guy.
He's a very, yes.
For what it's worth.
Yes, he's very charismatic is an excellent word to describe.
Sweep you off your spine, you know? Really good guy. Really good practice there. Chiropractor, you guys know him by now. I went in for an appointment yesterday on Saturday, or I guess, Saturday, 2 days ago. Y'all listen to this on a Monday. And I heard a couple new people went and got appointments.
That's excellent.
And I think that's by word of mouth. So that's cool. I don't know who they were, but we appreciate you all for actually trusting us that what we say here and we're talking about this practice isn't just words and that we actually mean it. We go there, we're patients ourselves, at least Kat and I, because we're close to them and we've been going for so long. We really do sincerely mean this, even if, you know, sometime in the future when we're still doing this pod 30 years from now, we're old and decrepit. And they're no longer our sponsor, we will still sing their praises and I will still tell people to go. And I'm telling you all to go and give them a call at 404-321-0082. Ashley Rachel set you up with an appointment with the charming Dr. Cohen or Dr. Farisi. He's very good too. Also very charming. Both really, really good people that will actually take the time to get to know you, your body, what's going on, follow up with you, take really, really good care of you, and feel like they have a vested interest in your health and you won't feel like a number. So check them out. They're in Decatur off McConnell Mill Drive, and you can find them on the web too, masonmillcairo.com. All right, low-key man of the match. I'm going to go with Abram. I'm going to go with Luis Abram.
I was worried
because – it, lo and behold, Derek Williams has turned out to be so integral to everything we've done and improved defensively. Mm-hmm. Communication, all of it. What a signing out of nowhere. Okay, this is working. All of a sudden, that's gone on top of everything else. So it's like, oh, good grief. No, fine. Communication, good. Blocking shots, everything's still there. He gets it for me. Anybody else? Who you got?
I'm going to go with, who was the man of the match?
I think it was Muyamba.
It wasn't Caleb.
Oh, I was gonna. They didn't give it to either one of the goal scorers.
I think 92-9 gave it to Tristan. I think Caleb hit the spike. I do believe.
Okay. I'm just the golden spike of excellence. I was gonna give it to Saba just because I just think that he has to be if he's involved, then things are going well.
Okay.
This is our 10th game?
9th? 7th.
Really? Only that many?
Yeah, we got a couple games in here.
He's involved in every moment of every minute that he's on the match.
I buy that.
Yeah.
I like that he was like that with Jandé out and just kind of did a lot of that. Tristan was in so many of those little, especially late in the game, he was in so many of those little chances and was just getting shifty. I needed that man to just hit it on the first touch one time, just yep. one time. Like, his left foot existed. He just would not use the damn left foot. But
it
like
was there. I saw his left foot. I saw him running on it. He doesn't have it.
It's there. My guy, you can use it. It's free. It's free. You have it free of charge. Free of charge, buddy.
Swing away.
But like, he was in so many little crevices and corners working with Thiago. He was doing the things that we exactly brought him here to do. That we were not getting from Sosa and everybody else that was playing that position, which is critical. Like, to have that attacking mindset and to not be a negative and then still get back and everything and just be everywhere. Almada, I feel like, also deserves a lot of credit here. They showed his heat map during the match, and it was there was not a corner he didn't touch. Like, that man was everywhere.
Especially in the second half.
That man was everywhere.
That's a huge improvement. And we're going to
People were saying he needed to show up. He created 7 quality chances today.
Yeah,
a lot of good creating chances, had a legit shot on goal that just wrong spot, fine, whatever, but he had so many completed his completed passing was the most pretty late into the match as well for us. So I mean, like, it, in terms of the sheer offensive tactical plan that was set out, down GG, like Rio scoring, good god, thank good, like, amazing.
Yeah,
they nailed it. Like, they absolutely nailed it. This was I've categorized all 7 games as in like game states of like games we should have won that or should have lost, stuff like that. I described this as the games we were undermanned, but we could get a result that we drew.
But that's excellent because that's what I was pointing out earlier, is that one of the things that we couldn't do last year, unless we had the ideal starting 11, was we couldn't score. We couldn't put the ball in the back of the net. If anything, what we've started to do in the first 7 games, and if anything, maybe the last 6 or 7 of last season too, is that we can put the ball in the back of the net again. It's so important if you're still working on your back line, if you're still working on firming up that middle like we have been doing, which I think we're starting to really do. The 2 fluky goals tonight notwithstanding, we're starting to put the ball in the back of the net by a lot of different people.
Hey, for what it's
worth, we're not scoring with one person only all the time or
all
never.
All of our nines have at least one.
That, there you go.
That's a lot more scoring depth we've ever had at the 9 ever in our entire.
That's why I was so gutted to get this draw tonight. I'm like, all right. So
it feels
Rios,
like
third string striker,
right,
knows he's not going to see a lot of minutes, but takes his moment right before he comes off. He's probably only good for about 60 today. And damn it, man.
Yeah, and that's a great moment. And you know who doesn't make that shot? Probably Derek Etienne Jr. So,
yeah.
See, I knew everybody would laugh at that one. Yeah. So, but that's what we're saying, is we're starting to hand pick some really excellent depth. We're proving that we can score without the starting 11. It's such a huge threat.
It is, and it's one of the
really deserve this one, and I think that's what's really gutting for a lot of people, is that we feel like we deserved it with the non-starters.
I don't know. Like, we didn't deserve it. We were all lamenting going into this week about how gutted we were that, like, we weren't going to get a shot at Philly at home with, you know, missing 4 starters and 2 key backup pieces, right? Like,
right.
And we were all, we were saying we were going to be lucky to get out of here with a draw. And ultimately, the way that the match play wore out.
Yeah.
I think we all wound up. I think both teams wound up where
probably
they were supposed to be, given the run of play. We had, you know, some, you know, circa 2023 brain fart moments, and we got burned for them.
Yeah.
You know, that's how we lost all of
circa 2023 last year.
Goose did have to like make some real stops too.
Yeah.
Like they had some.
I'm gutted for him too, man. He had another what would have been great day.
Yeah.
Truly.
I'm looking at I was checking. You mentioned like the scoring goals and stuff. I'm like, didn't we score a gazillion goals last year? We did.
So
we had 17 guys score last year. I checked. We're at 6 different guys through 7 games now that have scored.
See, Jack is for those of you listening the first time. Hey, let's get to some intros 40 minutes into this. I'm Glenn. We got Kat and Jennifer here as usual, and now we got Jack Purdy with us, who hops on from time to time. He's got some experience with some background in VARing and a little bit closer to the officiating end of things, that has some valuable perspectives to share there. And he just pulls up all these random stats.
Football Reference is right there. It's free. You can use Football Reference. Anyone's welcome to use it. Actually, that's the only If anyone knows any other good websites, I'm like,
Jack's like, I don't just formulate in this shit in my head. I actually like.
Nah, he does. He's nah. It's all in his head. Jack's stat attack.
What you are able to do is you're able to pull the stuff forward that's relevant for what we're talking about. And I don't usually
not
have
be
the,
fully distracted capacity. To
where you
can't continue. No, right. I don't have the wherewithal.
And,
the
and he's doing all
do
this
that.
While watching golf. It's very impressive. that stat is impressive, and it's in line with what we want to be doing. It's
golf is the slowest moving sport on the planet. I'm not surprised he has
heard
enough
of curling?
Time.
Curling's
curling, there's
fast.
More action in curling. Have you seen how fast they have to move those brushes? It's very fast.
Shout out to the social media team for putting out that pre-match Masters themed
video. That was cool.
Great. Cool. If you haven't seen it, get on Atlanta United's.
Did you guys notice the little Easter egg they popped in there with the ID check at the end of it? Because that was my favorite thing.
No, I missed it, and that's great. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. Joe was getting his ID checked at the end of it. It was comedy gold, and I am here for all of that.
The curtain gift that keeps on giving. All right. Let's move into takes proper here. So the first half, for me at least, it felt like we were pointing a gun at Philly, but both teams kind of knew it wasn't really loaded. We lacked that finishing threat. We all expected that, you know. We played like it too, but in the second, we decided to load the gun and maybe pull out a sword or two, found different ways to attack and just started, you know, going, you know what? Fuck it. Why don't we shoot? Why don't we just act like these are lethal threats? And we did it. So happy with that. A big part of that is Almada. We'll get to him switching on and providing that, but does that track?
I think that it, you know, when you have this kind of like lineup shuffling going on, I think over the last several years, we have had it, and this has been under Pineda's tenure. And if there's a thing I will critique about the way Pineda manages games, it's we don't come out with a lot of energy all that often. Like we don't come out switched on, and it takes the team, you know, 10 or 15 minutes to really grow into a game. That's why we're getting scored on so early, like half of last season. Right. And I think obviously having lineup roulette going on doesn't help that. It doesn't help you come out with energy when you don't, you know, when you don't know who's going to be in the 11 week to week because of this many injuries.
So what's different this year? Because we're dealing with injuries again. Lineup roulette is back, but we're seeing a more consistent performance.
We haven't
apart
come
from the
out,
last 15
we have
minutes.
Not come out of a locker room for the first half on fire. We've come out of a locker room for the second half on fire.
That's fair. I'm just saying, like, our depth piece, like, it seems
I think
a
we
little
have
bit
better,
more consistent.
Well,
than
yeah, year. Yeah. You got better consistency here. You got when Gigi's not playing, we have an actual soccer player that can score goals that isn't named Miguel fucking Perry, which changes everything. When you're playing with 11 soccer players, it changes everything. And both of them have scored. Both of our backups have scored in their first starts out there. Like if you can do that, you can run a lot of the same everything for a game like this. I think this game was a lot more emblematic of the fact that we finally are at a point where it works no matter what piece is in there, but with some of the depth pieces in there, and it's not going to break immediately, and you're just going to hope and pray. The Toronto game, I think that's a perfect example of where it does break down when you're losing. You don't have the spine of your entire team, but if you got just some itty bitty pieces out missing, you can patch it together if you got, and the guys are good enough to do that. So
I think you have better, and I think obviously we have better depth now. We have addressed a lot of big pieces. We have much better depth, but ultimately, it's still taking us 20, 30 minutes to kind of figure out how we...
I mean, it used to be 85. It used to be 85.
Yeah. So it's an improvement.
I just
think that's something that going forward, regardless of who's in the lineup, you know, they're being selected for the lineup for a reason. There's no reason to come out flat, especially at home. And they kind of did.
Fair enough. Well, that kind of leads into number two. I mean, despite the result, I think we still look pretty solid defensively. considering the absences and the, mm-hmm. the lineup roulette that we're dealing with here. Still blocking shots, still in communicating, which is really important, which was the thing I was most worried about with Luis coming in today, because that's just been all that Derek has talked about, all that anybody about, you know, asking that's been asked questions about Derek players, about his communication, how valuable that's been. Missing that, I was worried, and it still happened. So
I figured out why Luis was better. Luis got himself a new haircut, and he's way cuter.
The longer hair works for Luis.
Works so much better for him.
Shades of headband. He looks like a from a distance, little Franco Escobar.
I was just going to say it's a little bit. Franco hairstyle.
Channeling is Inno Franco. Okay,
I'm here for it. And you know, look, I think the man needs all the snaps in the world, because this is what happened last year. Yeah. Somebody got hurt. Luis stepped up. He didn't give it back. He didn't give that starting role back. And, you know, mad snaps, too, to Noah Cobb, because Noah Cobb, I think, is playing way above.
He's had two great games in a row here, like two games where he's been an absolute plus, where that last year would have been a uh-oh.
I just think we need to recognize that with all the center back, you know, in and out, shuffling, whatever – I don't think the on-field play, the issues we're having, you know, the goals that were scored at inopportune moments, none of that was on the center back pairs.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
No, I agree. That's why I'm just gutted, because they could have really done with a win here.
Yeah. Like,
what that would do for your confidence, I don't really think can be measured. We could really kick on from there. It could be fine next week, and, you know, just keep racking up the points at home.
It's your favorite match. It's your favorite match. It's the Skyline Chili match.
Since he isn't in terrible form.
No.
They're not in great form. So it's going to be another equal challenge. Much prefer to play Cincy over Philly, just because I think we can play our game a bit more. Two teams that actually want to play should be a little bit more entertaining. Number three, we've kind of already hit on a lot. It's all about the refereeing, and we've kind of talked to that ad nauseum, but we can go into it a little bit more. I was happy to see the refs giving yellows. Like, I want more yellows for teams that play in this style, that just cynical dissent, getting in the ref's ear. But like Kat was saying, I agree with this too. Like, yellow is yellow. I don't think the ref would have gotten any blowback for giving a second yellow. I know they don't want to change the game. Nobody does. Everybody would prefer 11v11 and end it that way, right? Than going down for 10. But he's this ref, you ain't going to lose your job, brother, because you gave us, it's not your fault that he kicked the ball away. That's the job. That's the job. I could see it from inside. Like, I'd really rather not. Let's let the game play. But ain't your fault that he did that shit. Like, he already blew his chance at a first yellow. So yellow's yellow. I don't get it.
That's my problem with it, because with the offside call, right, for Philly's third goal, it was really close. You could absolutely make an argument one way or another. Okay. With the throw in and the foot on the line, foot off the line, was his heel on the line, blah, blah, blah. Judgment call. It's a gray area. The second, what should have been the second yellow to Jose Martinez, is not gray area. It is not subject matter jurisdiction. This is a yellow 7 out of 9 times. Every time it works 60% of the time.
I've got a thing on that throw in though, because this drove me up a wall that this wasn't called.
Yeah, please explain what the hell went So
we'll go into some VAR background here. Is they like basically when they're watching games, they basically have a system to like mark when an attacking phase begins, so that they have like an easy point to go back and watch an attack develop when they go back and check a goal and everything like that. Like, a pretty intuitive thing to do. Problem is, it's for live ball situations. A dead ball is not exactly a reviewable thing, because it's not during play of soccer. Which means that, and they confirmed after the fact, Doug Roberson tweeted that like that heel thing was not reviewable, which then means, and I saw, and I swear to God, I've seen a camera, a screenshot where there was visible green between the heel and the white, just barely. And the ball has not left his hands. Like, it's still behind his head. The ball is behind the guy's head before he throws it.
And you can see the lines woman kind of.
She's staring at it. It's really fast. It's really tight. Like, I get how that's not it's a judgment call. It's a snap judgment. A rare thing you're ever gonna have to call too, that the guy was so far in the field that it was out. You only have to be touching the field. So like legally, as long as the back part of your foot is on that white line, 99% of your foot can be in the field of play and you throw it, you're good. But if you can't review it, that means that this guy found the loophole. You can be just barely in the field of play, get that extra inch, and they can't review, and they won't review it. And
because it's not,
because it's a dead ball at that
time.
So
if you're Philly, you gonna keep doing it?
I mean, thing is, it's it's like long jump. It's like you don't really want to toe the line of the foul line too close to where you're not, your jumps don't count here. So it's kind of that kind of situation. But yeah, it looks like there might be a little bit of, I don't know for sure here. Like, don't. I don't know. I'm not
authority
here, but like, this is just a weird little loophole they found. Did that impact we still won the header that sadly led to that goal. So it's like, it doesn't change the effect or anything like that, but like, it's this weird little rules gap that basically doesn't matter at all, because you're talking about the tiniest fraction of an inch. But I just find it funny that in baseball, fair foul ball basically instigated the need for replay. But in soccer, they're like, there's a boundary line. We can review. There's a boundary line. It's so funny to me. But yeah, I mean, that means the sideline refs just got to catch in the moment.
There's one thing that Philly does that I wish we did. I wish more teams would do. Treat throw-ins by the box near the 18 as a set piece.
That's cool.
Have a long throw specialist.
Yeah,
get Brooks to start. Lift a few more weights.
Yeah, I mean, we're
that motherfucker into the damn box.
It's a set piece.
We're half decent at corners. Like, we're actually half decent at corners now. We've actually, despite after the Tata years, we're never going to try.
We have got a lot of people who can elevate in the box. Why not?
Granted, Gregerson being out doesn't help with that, but regardless.
Wrexham, newly promoted to league.
Newly promoted
to League One Wrexham.
Wow.
They have a guy. They have a player, Ben Toder.
They have a throw-in specialist.
That's amazing. I love it.
Specialist.
Throw-in coaches. Yeah. These are really key attacking opportunities. Let's not worry about just getting the ball in. Let's create something out of this. If we're not going to do a long throw, let's start drawing some stuff up. Let's draw up some throw-in plays, trick plays, whatever you want to call them, to treat it more like a set piece, like Philly does. This is, if you want to call that throw-in a set piece, which it essentially became, that was one of the points I made on the high five, was like, be set for that, and we weren't. Sucks to concede that way, but that's their sixth set piece goal of the season. Philly thrives in dead ball situations. We know this.
And it's something we had a real problem defending against last year, because those were those moments where we switched off. Right.
So
and that's not saying we switched off in this one. You know, we won the header. We kind of started it out the way it was supposed to start out. But like, it is something that we should be paying more, you know, we should be paying extra attention to, because it really bit us last year.
Especially against teams like this that are a known entity. Like, you just know what they're playing for. They don't play for soccer more than a minute at a time. It's a rule. They all have little watches. When it's a minute, they kick it out.
That's the thing that really pisses me off about Philly is, you know, I don't have to like your MLS team to be able to watch and enjoy a match between two other MLS teams that I don't have a vested interest in, right? I don't understand. Philly has players who can actually play. They have a good academy with a lot of talent coming through it. Mm. Like, they could, in theory, play enjoyable to watch soccer. They just choose violence every single time.
Do you think their players get frustrated with that? I mean, when you're winning, vibes are high. When you're going to MLS Cups, when you're competing for Shield and trophies, vibes are high, but I wonder if they get a little frustrated at, like, I'd rather play soccer. You know?
I don't. I mean, I would, as a competitor and somebody who competed at things.
I would too.
I would get really frustrated, especially when you know this organization that you've put however much personal investment of whatever, like your whole life into, and know that they're never going to buy the pieces or put the pieces together to get you over the top because of this philosophy that they have. Because it's what they continue to fail to do. They're always going to throw Philly quality, and I say Philly quality product on the pitch, right? It works. It works relatively well.
In this league, it does.
You know, in this league in particular, because this is a rough and tumble league.
Right.
You know, we're out in the wild, wild west here. But, you know, they don't have enough finesse. They don't have enough final talent to be a real championship side. Not right. that I've ever seen.
I agree.
And they haven't gotten there before in their past. So, like they don't have the trophy to show it. So, they got the work to do.
All right. Number four, all about Thiago. And, you know, he just finally really showed up today, especially in the second half, because we've been missing that kind of dynamic creative player that he is. He sets those standards for himself. Finally just stopped drifting out wide, got involved centrally in those little spaces that he likes to operate in. We just need him to keep doing that, because now we do have the depth. We're not asking, like we were last year, to just put the team on his back at times. He doesn't need to do that. He can just be that facilitator and not have to go out and win games through incredible back-to-back free kicks or what have you. Yeah. You
that
know,
that weighed a lot on him last year, too.
It
I
did.
Don't see that same... I think there was a lot of it that we didn't see at first that was maybe that he...
Is he getting adjusted to not having the weight?
Maybe a little bit. But that's what I'm saying, is that some people were critical of him, or some people have been critical of him, because it kind of looked like he wasn't coming out with the same amount of intensity. And, you know, and that wasn't showing in some of his chances. But I think that what's happened now, 7 matches in, is he's starting to find that right rhythm between the right amount of intensity, like you said, and not having to feel like the entire weight of the world is on his shoulders.
Well, it's not, because he has personalities like Gigi and personalities like Saba to bear the brunt of that, deflect that off of him, and let him just go to work, right? There's a vast gulf of performance demand difference when your name is, forgive me, Kat, Lionel Messi, and what you're expected to do every time you go out on that pitch. And last season, every time...
For those that don't know, it's Kat's favorite player.
Yeah. Yes. But like, but for real, every time, every match last season, we had to have that expectation from Thiago, because it wasn't coming from anywhere else. Gigi hadn't manifested in any kind of way, especially early in the season, right? When he had more injury woes and things like that. So we didn't have that.
He got better.
He did. And the personality started coming through, and he came out, you know, came out guns blazing this year.
Right. After that summer transfer window, when you get the haul with Saba and Jonde, it all gets different. Today I saw he played as in any sport, if you can play selflessly, things tend to go well for you. And he played a much more selfless game, where it wasn't that kind of just like, where, give me the ball and that's it. It was weaving things together.
Because now we got Muyamba out there creating as well.
Right.
You know, he doesn't feel like he has to go out and like, okay, I gotta get this game going myself.
Yeah.
I've got to do it all.
Yeah, I know. I think part of Ramad, I don't know if this is true or not, but it's like, I know, like, everyone knows he wants to play in Europe at some point too. And this is a problem in so many other sports, but having to play a little bit selfishly to kind of like prove yourself and be flashy, get your highlights out there. And that generally in team sports does not, or at least in very interconnected team sports like this, does not exactly help all the time.
I think for his sake, if he can prove that he isn't, that he has the capability of
he's shown both.
Yeah. Long as he doesn't have a complete drop off of absolute shit, then he's going to be fine.
Right.
He has already demonstrated his skill. People know what he's capable of.
Playing Atlanta United soccer instead of Thiago Almada soccer is going to make
a lot
more people want to play with Thiago Almada, because
agreed,
he can be that guy.
Yeah, it's a good shout.
Be a linchpin. I mean, that's every team sport is like this. Like, you can't just go, unless you're Steph Curry or Caitlin Clark and literally win championships on your own, almost, Steph had played.
Also basketball, a bit different where
basketball, but also
one player can do it.
Where you are 20% of your active team at a time instead of less than 10%.
Right.
So it's very different, Messi is like the only,
don't worry.
Messi and Ronaldo, very few others like in soccer or even remotely able to be like that on a soccer field, where it's kind of like, all right, they got it, we're good. Like Messi did that in Kansas City, where he just like got open for 2 seconds and lasered one in.
Also, sporting, I don't know, maybe Mark, the world's greatest number 10.
Why is he that open? Why is he that open?
At the top of the box, I don't know. Maybe.
Did you guys forget who he is?
I don't know what was going on there. Like, that's... Yeah.
If you have a legend of your sport playing you, you should just never let them be comfortable. Never let them be comfortable at any point.
People around him at all times.
Double them up. Yeah. All right. Wrapping up number 5. I mean, those were two of the most Philly goals we're ever going to see playing them. Kind of fluky, kind of against the run of play, kind of dubious. Even though we think now that perhaps that ball was not all the way out of play. Fine, you know, Mascara. Philly doesn't need any help, and we gave it to them.
That's the problem. Philly doesn't need any help, and we gave it to them.
And then they just got under our skin and nearly won the damn thing. But so did we. We almost won the damn thing too.
We did.
Yeah. It's where he feels about this game felt balanced in a lot of ways. Like, it was open.
Weirdly balanced, yeah.
People were running everywhere. I prefer us to play games like this than alternate. And it's also nice that, like, Philly came out guns blazing, too. And, like, it's like, we need teams to not bunker for us to play well. Yep. We need transition moments, and we damn near nearly got that third goal from that. But thankfully, the defense, for the most part, did its job. And it was the points where the defense wasn't exactly a factor at all that they scored, sadly. They just found
it. Can we talk about the maturation process of Bartosz Schlisz for just a minute? Because
he was lovely today.
He could have been low-key as well, for what it's worth.
Yeah, the only reason he wasn't low-key for me is because of the backline injuries. And we needed the center backs to step up in a really big way. So I'd agree. we're not gonna get a result without that center back.
Agreed. If not for that, then it could have been Bartow. That's no disrespect, because he had a great game
and he was taking balls everywhere. I don't want to be that man's ice bath today. Because that had to be very painful. But yeah, the man earned his freaking pierogies. I hope his fiance made him some good ones, because he is looking, it's taken him, you know, a good month and change, you know, to really grow into the MLS game, which I think we can all agree, given the amount of bitching that's going on with the state of the IRs for this league and not having roster flexibility until maybe the summer transfer window. But like, all these injuries, the way that this league plays, like, Bartosz is figuring it out, and he's starting to dish it back, and his quality, like, in terms of how strong he is on the ball and
that
where
quiet work, man. We forgot what it was like to have a proper six.
Yep.
We forgot what that shit was like.
Not noticing it is so fun.
Yeah.
Right?
Not noticing it until the poor guy's face is swollen and he's got like a giant gopher ball on his head from taking a ball to the face.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, and that's, again, like, I
just, we haven't had it since 19.
No.
Haven't had it. Just haven't had that. Nope. And it's been glaring. He is coming up quick. You're right. He's adapting to this shit, which is not easy.
No.
Who was even the last good one we had there? Remedy?
Maybe. Remedy?
Yeah, Shimetti.
I used to call him.
You have to do the dance when you mention Eric Remedy. The Shimetti. Okay, sorry.
Sosa would try to do that.
It was Sosa though. Like,
yeah, Sosa never put the pieces together. He had the good.
And we would applaud him when he does a couple things. Like, this is what this man does. This is this man's craft.
Yeah. All Sosa really wanted to do was just be a center back that moves forward, and it just wasn't enough.
Not everyone can LGP.
Yeah, no, that's true.
No, not everybody is.
So is that maybe what it is? We haven't had an LGP since LGP, even.
We really haven't had an LGP or an agitator since 2019.
No. Yeah, in that way, in that attitude, maybe not the same six, but like, you know, playing the same role, but that attitude.
Yep.
I think it's just as important as the skill sets.
Just the boss of the backfield.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it seems like all of our guys just as a unit are doing that. Yeah. Collectively. Like, it's not just Gregerson. It's not just Williams. It's everyone's got that. Whatever they do, whatever they figured out.
He's not just a boss. He's like undercover boss.
Yeah.
You know, you don't notice. You don't really notice that the boss is there, but the boss is there.
You know, I was
don't
on
know
that show?
He's the guy until he's
Wait,
taken it out.
I'm sorry.
Wait, you were on Undercover Boss?
I was, yeah. For like half a second. They did one at Stone Mountain one time when I was homeschooled, and it was the guy that was the company that manages all the parks at Stone Mountain. It's a much larger company than
Wow.
Yeah. That was
I remember it was Silver Dollar Entertainment. That's that it was like the Silver Dollar theme park group that was on Undercover Boss.
I guess, sure.
The guy who owned the CEO of Silver, they have like the Maggie Valley Ghost Town Park.
It was
a bunch of some, other Stone Mountain some, was in their portfolio.
Some white dude, yeah. So we went on the duck boat and it seemed really corny as hell, and I was like,
Why the hell am I doing this week to week? One random fact. About each of us that you just that... didn't know about each of us that you just don't know about.
I've been on CBS for half a second.
Yep. Ow. Okay. Cool.
Cool. All right. I think that kind of about does it. Final question. How do we all feel going forward off of this? Is this like we saw enough positives that we're good and we know we can do it and that's good? Or do we feel like, which is kind of the camp that I'm in, by the way, or do we feel like, oh man, this shit again, and this is going to haunt us?
No, I don't think that's going to happen.
Okay.
I don't know. Let me rephrase. Injuries suck. We need to, you know.
We are adding a $25 million hospital, I've heard. To the training ground. I'm assuming it's a hospital wing. Yeah. What else would it be?
It's a Choa hospital though.
The other facility is a blank facility, something like
that. The academy.
It's good for the academy.
I still stand behind being positive and seeing the light at the proverbial end of the tunnel for this. I like where we are as a team. It's fun again. It's fun to watch. It's positive. We are not going to win every match as long as we go out there and we don't look like absolute dog crap. And there's intensity and there's, you know, everybody's trying. Your favorite phrase of playing for the badge and playing for the city. It still feels so good again. So even if we don't win, I still feel positive about it.
I think the positive I'm taking away from it is the depth is proving itself, right? And ultimately we're going to need to catch a few breaks every season. Every team that wins a championship, every team that wins trophies, they catch good breaks. There is an element of luck and there is an element that you can't control in it. That being said, we need to start getting some of those to go our way at some point. But what I've seen over the last couple of matches is really, really positive in terms of the performance of the depth pieces that we were supposed to have, because the knock on this team has always been depth and not having anybody ready or able to be next man up. I think what we saw today and what we saw in New York is we do in fact have people that are ready to be next man up, step in, do the job, and not mess up the entire design in the process.
Yeah. So even the negatives can still be positive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
A little bit.
I think that's fair. I would agree.
You like that? It's kind of, it's kind of nice. It's kind of rolls off the tongue a little bit.
I mean, look, this is kind of, and at the Swickster said this to us on Twitter, that this is kind of a textbook loss draw. A draw that feels like a loss for us against Philly. Like, it's the most Philly way of getting a result ever.
Yeah.
But it doesn't quite feel like the capitulation that we experienced last year. It doesn't feel like that. It's those two moments, bloody hell, it happened. I'm not overly concerned by it. Jack, how do you feel?
I'm okay. I've got a working theory. I don't know how real this is, but here's the thing. I agree with Jen, what Jen was saying about earlier about like our energy is not all the way there. That is the thing that has annoyed me most about the entire Pineda era, is that so exceeding, not commonly enough, do we come out for all 90 or really 105 with how much extra time there is, of sheer lockdown energy. We are going to put everything at you no matter what. I have never seen us consistently do this on the road. Granted, winning on the road in MLS is hard as hell. But when we were really, really good and had the talent to do that, like we do now, we were road dogs. Like, we could put the pedal to the metal on the road all the time. That New York City game was a start. It was a start, but that was one. That was just one. The Toronto game, Toronto and Columbus, throw those games away. Those are just weird as hell. Weird as hell games.
Yeah.
I am not worried about those games in the slightest. But it keeps happening and happening. It's to the point where I'm worried it's institutional, because whoever's job it is to open the fucking roof hasn't done it for the last two matches when it was perfect days outside. And they, I'm worried that this whole club's getting soft. Like, in just in on the fringes, I feel like we're getting soft. I legitimately, if I was going to this match, I was going to, and when I saw they were closing the roof, I would have given my ticket away and gone to a bar and watched outside, because I was not about to watch that match inside. That annoyed me so much for an outdoor sport. But regardless, it's these fringes. You title winning teams take care of these fringes.
That's true. And they finish the edges.
We are not
the edges.
I have, and this was a step. This was a step because our literal third guy that's played striker for this year in seven matches scored. So I'm like, that is a massive plot point to show it's kind of getting there. But literally from coaching to the guys out there to people making operational decisions about the stadium, there are some fringe things I'm still a little worried about. So,
No, every little thing matters. Championship teams take care of those fringe elements, from the groundskeeper to the third backup striker. Like, everybody's bought in and everything is accounted for and thought of and taken care of. And we're not quite there yet. I do think, like what you said, I fully agree that having Rios get a goal, like, that's big to show that all of them, all nines, every single one of them has that ability in them to find the back of the net. Yep. That
makes
is
us
massive.
So much more dangerous. It makes other teams play us differently.
It's got to make Pineda feel a little bit better too, to know that, okay, we're still going to be all right. If they're off to international duty, they're injured, whatever it is, which hopefully Gigi gets right. I mean, that's unfortunate for him, because it's not like he pulled up and just a training thing. It's contact. And there's nothing you can do about that. Yeah,
you prefer that over others. But I just know we have been so, like, I know at least in MLS, it's harder to, like, follow the rest of the league outside of your own team compared to the other big leagues, that it's like, okay, why aren't we winning? Yeah. Like, this seems obvious that we should be winning matches more often than we are. And so, like, for me, I have to exercise the restraint. It's like, no, we're in sixth right now. And it's not, I mean, it's because we've played fewer matches. But, like, if we get once we get to games in hand and we're still sitting in fourth, it's like, that's no accident. Like, that is about where we should, that's about where we should be right now, despite the fact we have a very good team. Miami is not going to remain in first. I swear to God, that team 12 through 20 is worse than best about everybody. So,
Don't worry.
Everybody knows that.
Yeah, it's so weird. It's so weird. Yep. So yeah, I mean, MLS is a weird league. The best teams still tend to win.
And it is going to be tight, especially in the East. Like, it could come down to what Kat's dealing with right now, with just a point or two, you know, with Liverpool, City and Arsenal vying for it, that fourth or third place spot, that home game playoff.
Could come down to crucial.
I hope we don't have to look back on a match like this of 2 points gone, and that keeps us out. But if we are going to be a real championship team, 2 points shouldn't be that big a deal. We should have enough of a buffer.
And that's a really good metaphor for how this match went. It should never be in the hands of refs to control your damn.
That's right. Control your controllables. Can't control what the ref does.
No.
Don't let that be a factor.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
Find the third goal, waste some time, lock it away, whatever you got to do.
Imagine
not lose a game to the uncontrollables.
Everything that we were talking about tonight, I swear, Glenn, I would honestly say at least three of the five takes maybe change slightly if we win. If that Saba ball doesn't rattle the post to its fucking off its hinges.
You have no idea how many times I had to, because I write these as we go, how much editing I was doing on the fly. Right.
And at the 86th minute, if that ball goes in, all five of these takes change slightly. Because yes. everything that the whole narrative is different. And yes. that's how close it was to yeah. this feeling of just incompleteness going away.
Yep. All right. I think that about does it. Yep. Largely positive. I'm glad we had this talk.
Yeah.
I'm so glad we
were. I don't think we were sunshine pumping. I don't think we were down in the dumps. I think we were pretty even, and we took away what we were able to take away, criticize what should be fairly criticized, and walk away feeling, yeah, both teams kind of lucky to get a point.
You know, it doesn't matter anyway, because we were only here for the party in the first place.
You hear that, Jimmy? Are you listening? I'm sure Jim Curtin's listening.
Yes.
Just here for the party. Man, the gift that keeps on giving. All right, y'all, thank you very much for listening. Really appreciate it. A special thank you to Amy, Anna, and Marie, who really provided the title for this week's episode. That one wasn't on me. I saw that tweeted at us. I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to go with that. I'm going to be lazy tonight and put forth minimal effort and let someone else do it. So I appreciate that.
It was just limey. That's all.
But we appreciate everybody. We appreciate everybody who continues to listen and now watch and go to Mason Mill and joining the Fan TV Discord and interacting with us on all the socials. And especially, my Lord, thank you guys so, so much for listening to all the women's pods. Episodes that we did for the She Believes Cup, that actually all these things mean a lot to us week to week, but there are some that are a little bit more important than others that are about more than just the different. Game being played.
Yeah.
And that was one of them. And we had a few hundred people actually listen to those between all of our pod channels, between here, and it's also posted on the Fan TV servers. So we really, really appreciate that, to know that people care about growing the women's side of the game. It's really important, right. And it doesn't happen without everybody taking an interest. So it means a lot to us. Thank you guys so much. So we will be back next week for Skyline Chili Derby. Blah. And man, we just
Ohio's not that bad, man. Come on.
He
it's
lived there, bad. Jack. Let
yeah,
him.
Yeah, he lived there.
I know. I loved it.
He would no. I don't know.
Guys.
Glenn just looks really sad.
I mean, this is also my favorite bit to do on this podcast. So
it just poked the bear.
I'm telling you right now.
What exactly is a brown?
We don't have the time.
Okay.
We don't have the time.
Everybody already listened to this for an hour, Kat. We're done. Go home.
We don't have the time. Believe me. All right, y'all. We will be back. We will be back next week for Cincy's five takes. We'll try and get a five-a-side out midweek as well. So we will talk to you, maybe in a few days, maybe in a week. Until then, y'all be good. We will be back.
Meow.
That was really sad and like, I don't know. I don't
it
know.
Was a question?
It was, yes, that's what it was. It was like, who, damn it, who typed a question mark on the teleprompter?